your background.
Da 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 da. Boom boom boom. Choo choo choo.
Hello.
Abrapensky.
Got a celebration.
Yeah. We're just testing out the microphones. Yeah.
Okay. They actually have a tester in the on the thing, and in Skype I have something to test, an echo sound test device. You dial and you sort of.
Yes, I know. I've used it. Yes, I've used it.
How are things out to Israel? What's happening?
I guess kind of what you see on the news, eh? Just sirens down south and whatever, you know. Quite hectic. People are quite tense here.
I heard they closed the yeshiva in the south and they told the Bachman to go back or whatever.
Apparently they closed down the whole south.
Wow.
Yeah. Peretz, you heard anything?
Yeah, I think the Rabbi Nebstein said they closed down Tifrach. My daughter's in Ofakim. They've closed down all the schools there. Uh-huh. I think they've got, and not only that, I think a lot of the residents from the south have, I think there's 30,000 people that they've resettled around the country.
Wow. Okay. I think we're holding, it's been a while, on Amud Reish Aleph, on Bo Micha Vemidal Shlosha. Is that right? Are we okay? We saw the Shisha Dvarim. We spoke last time about the Shisha Dvarim, the three and the three. And now I think we're holding with Vemicha by Shlosha Dvarim.
Yeah.
Okay. Vama Chaka Bo Micha Vemidal Shlosha. So now I'm going to explain the Shlosha. In other words, what is going to be true for each and every one of these inyanim is that in a certain sense they cover the entirety of a person. Let me give you a mashal, so to speak, just to understand the point he's making. If let's say a person goes to a doctor and he wants a complete medical examination. So let's say a complete examination takes 5 hours and they check you from the tip of your toes to the top of your hair and everything in between with every test possible. So that's a 5-hour test. Let's say somebody doesn't have the time or the resources for 5-hour test and he wants to do a 1-hour test. So that's obvious. I mean, it doesn't take much chachmah to understand that you don't reduce the 5-hour test to 1 hour by checking up to the knees and saying, well, if that's what it takes 1 hour, so I'm going to do only that. That's not a correct translation from 5 hours to 1 hour. What he'll do is, instead of doing 5 tests for each part of the body, he's going to do, 1 test for each part of the body. So there'll be 1 test for the limbs, and 1 test for the eyes, and 1 test for the heart, and so on and so forth. Because the idea is, you want to retain the idea of a checkup on a person. You can go different levels with that. You can zoom in, zoom out. You can do very minute and general. But the picture you want to keep is a general picture. And the same thing when somebody draws a painting of a person. You can have it as detailed as a photograph. But let's say you don't have that equipment or that's not the right venue and you're doing a drawing. Well, you're not going to do a very, very intense drawing of his chin. You're going to take the main lines of his face and draw that and you get that picture. So the Hamidon al-Achas is always going to be something that is makif the person. It's something that sort of gives us a general... it sketches the person b'chlolius in a way which he is, in which I'm giving over the entirety. And that's why it takes a certain chachma. In other words, given if you want to tell a person to work on himself, and you want to tell him to focus on, you can't tell him to focus on all 613 mitzvahs. That's obviously not possible because then he wouldn't be doing everything. And just tell him, well, why don't you just keep all the mitzvahs? That's pointless because he's not doing that. And if he can in one fell swoop do it, so then you should be doing it. But you want to tell them, do X and Y and Z, and that will lead you to doing good things. So you want the X and Y and Z to sort of be makif everything. And the same thing, Hillel, people make that same mistake when Hillel said, V'afer kamocha, v'idach zil gemar. He didn't mean to say, well, that's the only mitzvah or the most important mitzvah. He didn't say that. He said, you can structure all the mitzvahs to v'after echa. Even made on l'makom, like Rashi says, v'echa v'yavicha, and so on. But the idea is, the chachma of a klal is that you are picking lines that include the entirety of everything, down to the, including the details as well. So Micha came along and said three things. So what we're looking for is something to give the person a shlemus, which will bring him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Shaldam Hoylech B'dak Hashem Yisparach, Ain Sofich Hashem Yisparach, Ain Sofich Hashem Yisparach, Meshavarim, those who come to Sabar. And obviously somebody that is Hoylech B'dak Hashem, he has the Vekos. The Yadua, he says, Ki Dark Hashem Yisparach, Hei Nechlolam B'gimu, Asher Remez HaKosvalem, Kani Hashem Oysech Chesed, Mishpot Utstok Baretz. V'kvar B'anu, B'anu V'an Baruch HaSib B'nos Chasodim, B'zeh. So basically, if we need to structure the three elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anhagas, so if we were to take the 10 Anhagas, and we've made 6 out of them before, we were to make 3, that means there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought the world into being, Olam Chesed Yibaneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has structured the world. He hasn't given everything, and he's given things al tnai, and so on and so forth. And there's the midah of withholding, of defining, and from making the infinite something defined. And then there is the anhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of he mixes pitches. That is a significant anhaga in its own right. Because, I think we've explained it, mixing doesn't mean that, you know, uses alternate shots, this and that. It means he takes the two basic anhagas and forms the correct measure needed to bring for the person to not sleep. So he says like this. There is chesed gama, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives without any regard whatsoever for the person getting it. I'm giving because I'm giving. When I make a kiddush because I had a simcha, I don't ask myself if everyone coming to the kiddush deserves to be at the kiddush, or needs to be at the kiddush, or anything. The kiddush is my expression of simcha for whatever. And by the way, I did have bezas. We had a grandson was born to us this morning in Beit Shemesh. So that's yeah. Treat yourself to an extra drink on Friday night, and that'll be the Shalom Zacha. So when I make the kiddush, it doesn't, it makes no difference. On the other hand, when I'm paying a wage, it's only what the person did. You worked 10 hours for me, the going rate is $15 an hour, so that'll be $150. That's where we pay a wage. And there's something in the middle where I have my child, I know he needs X amount of money to live on. You know, we'll talk about a more grown-up child. I want him, on the one hand, to feel that he earns it. I want him to feel the challenges of a budget. I also know that it's very unhealthy for someone just to get without, you know, kind of feeling that he has to produce for it. On the other hand, I don't want it to be wanting. So I balance it, and I say, this will be the approach. This will be the giving, gratis, and this will be the earned money, percentages, tufas, comments, different ways how to mix those pitches. But those are three, in relationships, those are the three basic mahalchim of relationship. There's a relationship, it's me. There's a relationship where it's him. You know, this is what he deserves, this is what he needs to get, and this is what he'll get. And then there's a relationship that wants to foster both and balances it. So the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is total chesed. The biggest example of that is creation. Before we were, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed us into being, created us, there is nothing we did when we weren't to merit being. There is absolutely no way to express that in terms of din. We when nothing was there, taking Yesh Ma'ayin has no shaykhus of deserving. The second, so that was chesed. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us, the ultimate perfection is, and the ultimate satisfaction is that we be totally like him. So we come into the world, the chesed is that we came into the world, but ideally at that point, we'd have earning power, and we would earn everything, and that would be perfect. And that's then we would be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we would be most happiest that way, most satisfied. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that doesn't work, because all it takes is to mess up once and you're gone. Not the question is when we'll mess up, not if we'll mess up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then created a new anhaga, a mizuv of these anhagas, and that anhaga is to take the midas hachesed, which is expressed in the midas hadin, and to make that part and parcel of the midas hadin, and then to present it to us. In other words, we've given this mashal many times, but I think it's a very appropriate mashal. Let's say I have a school, and I'm interested in accepting only the fanciest mitzvahs. So I give a test. Anyone who does very well in the test gets into the school. Anyone who doesn't. And I don't have any, I feel no way compelled that person should get into the school. He failed, he doesn't get into school. I'm not interested in taking the school, I'm interested only taking the people that pass the test. Let's say my son is applying to the school, and me being a very, very kind of fair-minded headmaster, I have to give him the same exams and mark him with the same rate. The only thing I can do is, I can help him prepare for the exam. I'm not talking about cheating, I'm talking about just, you know, put kaychas into him. Now, and if he fails once, I will restudy material to him and restudy to get him to do it. Because at the end of the day, what's different is not that I'm willing to forego the process, but the process of the din is being yonik from the process of the chesed. It's because I really, really care for my child and love him and want to be proud of him that I want him to pass that test, and I will help him pass the test. I will not bypass the test, but I'll definitely help him pass the test. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed is total. Hashem HaShem Yisbaruch Mishpat Gomor. HaGimel, Masha Hashem Yisbaruch Manhig Olomo B'mida She'en HaChesed Gomor Ve'en HaMishpat Gomor. Rach Hu K'moi B'en HaChesed V'HaMishpat. Shenema K'ni Hashem Oise Chesed Mishpat Tzdaka. U'lefikach Eil HaShleish Yisbaruch K'olem HaNoi Shem Yisbaruch Oile Mishpat. I want to add another knetch here. It's a deep knetch. And it's a knetch that touches on some very deep and young. Ulchura, it sounds like the process I described to you sounds like a pragmatism. In other words, I wanted to, the first step is I'm a big Baal Chesed, so fine, that sounds okay. The second step is also straightforward. I know that the biggest Chesed is to have the other person do it on his own. So I introduced that mida. Now, when I see that people aren't doing well with it, I adjust it. That adjustment sounds like a compromise. It's sort of, yeah, I had a plan how to run things, and no, it's not working well. and we have to readjust it. I would have liked everybody to get hundreds on the test and make that the cutoff point. We'll make it 85 instead. Now, that's sort of what it sounds like. That doesn't quite sound good to us. And so, the last piece, and it's not only the last piece, Mishpat, this Mizuk, is really considered to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's primary Hanhaga. The shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's Kineged, this Hanhaga, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's considered to be the Hanhaga. It's the Derech Hashem. It's what the Rama means, that a blending of different Hanhagas produces the right Hanhaga. It's not a B'di'evet in any sense of the word. And the answer is B'Kfakert. The first two Hanhagas carry in themselves a stereo between themselves. In other words, the giving B'li Gvul, and then the restriction B'li Gvul are really, really says each other. Imagine the following. Imagine somebody comes to me and says he's very hungry, he needs tzedakah. So I say, okay, here's a chesed, I'll give it tzedakah. Then I say, whoa, the biggest chesed is you should earn it on your own. So cancel that tzedakah and go fend for yourself. It is a shita, but then it becomes a stira. And hello, and yes, technically, semantics, you're doing a chesed. But that's strange, it's weird. And because those two hanhagas are really says to each other. I once read, I can't remember where, what somebody was sort of teasing a religious point of view of, I think he said, here we have these wonderful nuns who are doing charity and they've collected money and they are giving it to poor children to go watch a football game, to buy tickets by a football game. And because they see this as being the greatest good. So he said, well, if that's the greatest good, why aren't the nuns getting the kids to get money to buy tickets to give to somebody else? If giving tickets to somebody else is the greatest good, and you want to do to the other the greatest good, then nobody should be using those tickets. Everybody should be busy buying tickets to give to other people. So if those nuns want to do the greatest good for kids, they should be enticing them to earn money, buy tickets, and give it away to other kids, and who should be encouraged to give to other kids. And, you know, it's an absurdity, at least a certain absurdity. The resolution of that absurdity, of that so-called absurdity, lies in the middle mishpat, where the two come together as one new hanhaga. And just like on the second day of Bria Sa'olam, it doesn't say Ki Tov, because Malachim were created, Rakiah split the world, Nelgionim Tachtoinim, Gehenna was created, many reasons. Second day, the second day doesn't have Kitov to it. The third day has double Kitov, because in the third, you have the synthesis of the first two in a way that both of them interact with each other in a very meaningful way. The reason if we've had authority figures in our lives that we admire and love, father, Rebbe, mentor, and that the reason why we admire that other person is because of his blend of tov and strictness. The fact that he was able to push us to do what we ought to do, and yet we recognized it, that it's not coming out of control or sadism or whatever it is, but rather out of a real love, and the person needs to be able to express both in a genuine enough way so that it comes across like that. So the mizug of these two midas are a gimme of them of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei associated with that. It says Yaakov Asher Podas Avram. Yaakov redeemed Avram, because once Yitzchak came into being, Yitzchak totally obfuscated Avram. His mida sort of took over, and there's no Avram in Yitzchak. Yaakov was able to draw that meter through this. The third one is that Kadosh Baruch Hu Nagdama Shanema Ken Hashem Oisa Chesed Mishpat Utzdaka. Ulefikar Alashashvaram Kailim and Hogis is referring to Jonah. So these three Mahalchim are Koil Odan Hogis. The other Mahalch for Dak Hashem is for Hiroshi and Dovik Bel Gilamid Hashem Koilim, or Zero Shemis. So now, if a person says to himself that.
Maybe?
Yes.
Sorry, good question. Why does Rashi say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishtatef Imo Midas Arachamim?
Yeah.
According to this, it should be. No, that is not a Shito. He was Mishtane.
It's not such a Kasha, you know, just on the surface doesn't look like that. But the whole Mahus of the Midas HaRachman is the ability to be Meshatif. I know that if the language were following what we said very precisely, it would be a little different to say it was Meshatif Chesed and Din and got Nishpat out of it. But Rachman is the Midah, it's the face of Chesed that is seen as being able to be Meshtatif with Din. So he says, when a person, so if I ask a person, what are those midos that a person needs to do to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the answer is, he needs to imitate all three things, because that's the general picture of all that Haggis. It's called Cheder in the Lashonis of the Sforim, Chesed in Rachman. Now he's going to explain the hard one, obviously, is the third one here. He says, Chazal give us, they say like this, Asayis Mishpat Zedin. So asoyis mishpat is din, avas chesed is mils chesed. So those are perfectly good examples. Vatznei alech is achnosis kalavoyis meis, which kind of, I mean, it's like where we're coming from. It's weird. V'dovah zehu bein achesed v'amishpat, sheim ein matnis hakala, v'be'atzmatele zegnai eleo v'diskanem. V'chein ha-meis, im lo yelavo yisoy, harei ze bizoy le-meis, v'kmo lo yigorosh. So he says here very, very interesting hagdara. When I do chesed, it's as if the person himself, I'm adding to what the person has. When I'm a chiyuv al pi mishpat, then it's a din in me. I need to do something. I need to give to him because I need to give to him. Here we have the situation. Achnosas kala levoyis hameis. The respect that the coming that one comes to be malav the meis or to be machnas kala. I don't owe it to them. I'm not paying them something that I owe them, but it's something that they would be missing. It's a bizoyan for a person to be buried with nobody around. It's a bizoyan for somebody to get married and nobody to show up. So it's filling in the sense, whereas a chesed is always seen as being slapped on top, kind of, if the person could get something more, but you know, so when I give him extra, like so chesed seems as if it's extra, these are things that mitzad the etzem mitzias, a mace, the kvoidash or mace is doirish. When you have nobody practicing it at Alvaya, it's not a lack of kavod, it's a bizayon. It's a statement. If no one shows up to a hasna, it's a statement. And that's a very, very, and that's why, so it's in a certain sense begging for it to happen. It needs to happen, But I'm not particularly one that needs to come for chasna. I don't owe him to be for chasna. These are things that it's incumbent to be there because the person needs it, demands it in a certain sense. I don't mean actively demanding, but I mean the occasion calls for it, as opposed to other cases where I'm just doing it, you know, because I feel like it. So it's not a real chiyuv like mishpat in the sense that I particularly must do it, that there's a shibud on me. There's none of that. On the other hand, the mace demands that he be buried with honor and so on. In other words, in my interactions with other people, some of those elements are just, it makes me a better person to do X, Y, and Z. Some of the things I owe it to that person, let's say Akharas HaTov or something like that, and some midas are a combination where it's something that I can't say in any sense of the word I owe it, but it's something that it's begging to happen.
Why is here Hatsnei Aleches? If they kept stocker from Oisa in a Mishkal in Rakhat Yacheset, Mishkal, the Kamensi of Stocker. Lokaha Zaha Chesed. Our Zaha Tis Mukremoi, the Oidis for the Kamensi at Snish Zaha. So we still need to figure out why here Snish takes that place. And we'll see further a bit, not much more left, but let's first see how it goes with it, and then we'll maybe come back to it. The Amma, Chazi Yishaya
Vemidah. Sorry, Rabbi?
Yes.
Sorry, you explained it so well that I can't understand something now. Why, if Rachamim is the ideal Mida,
yes.
When does Chesed and Din become what's the mokum for being actually okay. Manhig for Chesed and Din?
Good. There's different tchunis in a person. Let's take an Adam who's not Shalim. You have a person who, if you want to borrow a pencil from him, it's Kriyas Yamsov. Yo, I don't know, people don't give it back, and this and that, and so on and so forth. And we look at that not being good. On the other hand, this person will never borrow an object without asking permission, without being punctually returning it when it's needed, in perfect shape, and so on and so forth. One type of person. For stereotype, we'll call the Yakisha person. A second person, they're very easy, sure, use my stuff, it's not a problem, it's there. He also feels very, very comfortable using other people's stuff without asking. So it's one mida in a certain sense. And, on the one hand, it's a mida tov in a certain aspect. But the person's lack of respect for other people's property is disconcerting. It's a midah ra. And then there's a time, where a person needs to use some music of it. It's a situation that right now is a great need, and the person is probably not makpid, and this and that. A shleimus of a person is when he has a variety of needles, because each midah has its time and place when it's appropriate. The Chazon Ish says, right someplace, that a person needs to have a certain double standard, double books. Lemashal, if somebody asks me a favor that's borderline difficult, then Midas Tova says, I should be easy with it. Yeah, you know, why? At the end of the day, I mean, you know, why should I care? It's a little difficult, but it's important for the person, and I should, really shouldn't make much of it. On the other hand, to ask a favor from somebody where it's borderline difficult, one should be very reluctant to do so. And it's not a steer of which is the right midah. That's you know, the right midas in a person, there's a midas on mishpat when it comes to taking from the world. And the person should ask himself, do I deserve it? And so on. And to be very, very, very makpid, to be a captain on that which comes in. And, you know, and to be easy when it goes out. That's appropriate midas. Each one has the right midas in its place. Somebody once told me over many years ago, about things like bracha, asked me if I would like to tutor a bracha yeshiva. So I asked him, well, what's his problem? What's his issue? You know, usually when you're tutoring somebody, there's some issue. So he left. He said that the Talzer Shishiva used to say that a Talmud Chacham needs to be like the simonym of a Talmud Chacham are like the simonym of a kosher egg. It says a kosher egg is round on the bottom and sharp on top. Either one doesn't make a difference. It's one end is round, one end is sharp. So he said a bacher, a Talmud Chacham also needs to be that way. Because if he's round on both sides, it means he's obtuse, he can sit, but he's not very bright. If he's sharp on both ends, it means, you know, he's jittery and he runs all over the place. He might be bright, but he doesn't sit still for a minute, so nothing. So I asked him, so this chavrusa that you want me to learn with, this boy you want to tutor, what's his story? He says he's perfect, he said. He's just got to be turned upside down. Usually we also have both midas, it's just the other way around. We're a little easy on other people's stuff and we're a little harsher on our stuff. But but there's a makom. Each one, a person needs to say to himself, it's like the exchange rate on the dollar on foreign currency. There's a, it's not a gap, there's a spread between the two. Then that's where the profit is. The profit lies in that spread. So you buy for a little less, you sell for a little more, and then that spread is where your profit is. In the relation with other people, demanding my attitude towards other things should be, what can I give? My attitude towards taking should be, I don't want to take if I don't deserve it. And then there's an harder that's both together. So the midas are all necessary, each one on its own. But if you look at the whole complement of it, somewhere it comes together, and the midah where it comes together is called is that is the main midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called rachmim. Some places, it's stark or rach, whatever it is. He says ulakach. So here we're talking about these specific anhagas. We do need to know what sneas has to do with atzei lechetz with achnasas kal nevoyes hameis. Maybe we'll just sort of finish it when we finish the idea of it, so that we see how the ideas come together. This is a lot to the amkus of the maral. When I give you something, and it's something that is extra, you didn't have, and I gave you a car. So that car is mine. It's mine, and it's very clear. It has a sign. I mean, it has an invisible sign marked on it. This is the car that so and so gave to so and so. There's this Torah buildings in Yerushalayim when they were built originally. This was meant to be affordable housing, quote unquote, free in the life. At that time, it was kind of cheap because it was kind of out of town in those days. As a Torah, it was out of town. It was by the zoo and so on. And it also was subsidized. You know, they had a fund for subsidizing it. And on each doorway, in the first apartment, there was a plaque on top of each doorway, like
who helped with it, who subsidized it. And the problem was they didn't subsidize all that much. Like, $3,000 wasn't all that much. But it was kind of like a big sign. This is me. This is mine. So a chesed always remains the giver's, even though technically it's become the receiver's, it's the giver and he's there and his presence is there. So now when you do things, when I do mishpat, it's very clearly the other person's and he deserves it. He so-and-so worked for 10 hours, so the wages he's getting are his, and rightfully so. And so the fact that it's seen that way is not a mitzvah. But when I do these middle type of things, they start out as chesed, but they end up as being seen as well-deserved. For instance, let's take an example. If somebody has a very, very nice chasana, where many people show up, everybody shows up, no one says, wow, look at all these wonderful people that came to the Samer Chasna B'Kala. They say, well, he had a very big chasna because he's very chashim. And everybody likes him. He's quite popular and wonderful. Somebody has a levaya with a lot of people. So yes, this person, he was admired by many people. It's you're doing it. You don't have a chiyuv to go to the chasna, and once you do it, it's his. In other words, your role in it is behetzneya. That's the godless of mishpat. It starts as a chesed, but it ends up as being the other person's. I remember a story. This story is quite disturbing, actually, but it brings it out like just an extreme. When I was a boy, first year I was in Shiva, I don't know, 1970 kind of, somebody came to me, Smedish, one evening, and he says, there's this chasna and kala. Yerushalmi was living in Yeshiva. He just got married 2 days before. They're having a Sheva Brachas. It's a big, big busha. Nobody has showed up to Sheva Brachas. He wasn't a terribly popular guy. He wasn't terribly, no one really cared all much. Please, it's a big mitzvah. So the guy got together 50 people or so and trooped them down to a house in Azestera. And for Sheva Brachas, kids at 8:30, we got there. 9:30. 9:45, the chasan kala still haven't arrived. And, they called them. Finally, at 10 o'clock, they showed up. And the chasan, instead of apologizing, he said, someone said something, he said, well, I'm the chasan, and, they're waiting, it's their job to wait for me. It's like, His Royal Highness shows up when the Royal Highness wants to show up. And the peasants, since they need His Royal Highness, they should stall too. They should wait. I mean, it was to me like stunning. I mean, did he really think all these people came with Chvodo? I don't know. Maybe that's why he wasn't so popular. I don't know the person at all. But just that attitude that he could actually interpret it as being like, people were just dying to come to Sheva Brachas, and it's a seller's market kind of. But that's the pshat natznei lechas. The midah, the awesomeness of the midah of mishpat is, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed because he set up the system. It's like when you give a kid money for memorizing mishnayos or gemara, whatever it is. It's not earned money really, because you didn't get anything for it, and you can't charge you for it. But once he gets it, he earned it. Like the kid doesn't feel he got the money for nothing. The kid schwitzed. So you've done something that's a chesed. The kid has received the chesed in a way that's earned. And your role, like the kid doesn't say, oh, my dad is so nice. He gave me $100 for memorizing X amount of Mishnayos. He says, I worked hard and I earned $100 by reciting Mishnayos. That's what happened. That's not snei leches in this midah. It's awesome. That's the real midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bria, that he wants to give and give in a way that the person who gets it feels he gets it. That's why it's sneeze. Okay, so we have that. The Omar, then it says, Chazi Yishai v'amid al shnayim, Shimon Mishpat sud stoka, v'adav shu mutzah v'shem l'iski, v'adav zakeh mutzah shu v'chesed u mishpat, v'asay shtasim mishpat, ki lois igam kein dav shu k'tas chesed k'tas mishpat. So in a certain sense, you can say it's two, and the third midah can be derived when you memazik it appropriately, even though it isn't in the midah. But at the end of the day, it's
Certainly, a more appropriate way to bring out that ahog is to bring out this way. So basically, he's saying that as the doors went on and it became more difficult to flesh it out and all the details, still they wanted to do the kolos. They wanted to get the kolos thing down. And by the way, this is in a deep sense the challenge of a derech. Everyone who has a derech, anyone, makes certain amount of compromises. You can daven very, very early, but then you're tired the rest of the day. You can focus a lot on the learning, but then the davening seems to recede. You can focus on avodas Hashem, but what you do for other people is sort of takes a backseat and vice versa. The chachma is to do things that, in the context of what you've set up, everything else will come in mainly. So what you need to do is do enough things that there's a shleimus thing. So even if it's not in all the details, but like the muscle we gave, but you have a sense of the entirety of it. Let's maybe hold it here because this is going to be a new nekuda. So we've done the other nekudas of the six and of the six and the three and the two, that which are a sort of narrowing down to chesed and emes and to chesed and mishpat and stock and so on. Okay, any questions briefly? Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh. No okay, so good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Yisho Koach. Thanks for
Okay, hold on.